on February 20th, there's going to be a memorial service at Staples Center in Los Angeles for Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. The arena is, of course, expected to be filled to capacity, with some say over 100,000 people not being able to get in. This is reflective of the impact Kobe Bryant's life and actions had on so many people. You know, we throw the word hero out rather easily, which makes us not fully appreciate the role that word creates, what it takes to attain that position, and what the person that seat can mean to so many people. This is what my next guest writes about in his book, Heroes, Legends, Champions, Why Heroism Matters. He holds a PhD in philosophy, who has taught at Marist, Hunter College, among others. He's lectured at numerous universities as well, including Harvard, Stanford, Oxford. Dr. Andrew Bernstein, thanks for being here today, sir.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be on.
And the doctor's website, you learn more about this piece of work along with as many others, andrewbernstein.net. Just as a foundation for your book, as well as for the listener's edification, how is, in your mind, hero defined?
Well, I mean, I think a hero is somebody, especially the epic heroes that my book is concerned with, promote human life. You know, they're not bad guys, they're not criminals, they're not violent thugs or terrorists. You know, they take actions to advance human life. Their prowess or ability is generally beyond that of every man or every woman. They face daunting obstacles that might dismay, you know, people of less inner fortitude. And I think they triumph in at least a moral sense, and thereby give us inspiration. So I think those are the salient characteristics of a hero, Chris.
And you write, too, in your book, a hero is not necessarily purity. A hero is a human, and humans come with flaws.
Yeah. I use Thomas Jefferson as a leading example of that, who was, you know, had serious flaws, including, you know, being a slave owner, never freed his slaves, even at his death. Probably had an affair with one of his slaves, Sally Hemings, never freed her, was a vicious political infighter during the political party wars in the early days of the American Republic. You know, Jefferson is seriously flawed, but his achievements are just towering. I mean, you know, from the Declaration of Independence to his support of religious freedom to founding the University of Virginia to donating his library to start the Library of Congress. You know, I mean, Jefferson's achievements are staggering. He has to be considered a hero, but he's a flawed hero. Heroes don't have to be perfect.
You also mentioned Thomas Edison and some of the life flaws that he had, but yet look at his achievements. You help people realize when they read your book, Heroes, Legends, Champions, Why Heroism Matters, an individual's life should be placed on a scale rather than a yes or a no vote as they're determined to be whether or not they're worthy as a hero.
Yeah, I think that's a good metaphor to use. You mentioned Edison, and I mentioned Edison in the book, as you said. And Edison, according to his biographers, did, you know, neglect his children, and that, you know, well, he worked 18 hours a day, so you're not going to spend much time with your children. And it's wrong. That's wrong. If you bring children into the world, they need their dad to be spending quality time with them. So, I mean, I think that's a moral flaw. We acknowledge it. We deplore it. But then we move on to the man's staggering accomplishments. I think the focus here has to be on the life-giving, not the life-harming, that which promotes human life, not that which undermines. And Edison is a towering, he's a giant, you know, in the field of his accomplishments. And with just the electric lighting system in and of itself, the way that advanced human life is just enormous. So, he's a great hero, although he has a flaw.
We think of heroes, by and large, as someone who sacrifices, who gives up something, who loses something, sometimes their life even. That's not always the case. Majority of the time, that's not the case. As you demonstrate and teach in your book, Heroes, Legends, Champions, Why Heroism Matters, why would someone who has a value sacrifice that value?
Right. Right, and this, you know, I learned this from Ayn Rand's books, from The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. I've been a big admirer of her since I was a teenager. And values are the meaning maker in life. So, I mean, Edison as an example, he loved the process of inventing. He loved the work. He was passionate, you know, about it. And it was in pursuit of that values that he was able to achieve, you know, the glorious accomplishments that he did. Well, you know, I discuss Amelia Earhart in the story. I mean, she loved aviation. Now, she lost her life trying to circumnavigate the globe, but she lived and died doing what she loved. It the pursuit of aviation for her was a passion. If she gave it up, it would be an enormous sacrifice for her, not pursuing it or even dying in pursuit of it. If she gave it up, her life would be meaningless. This, because that was the most important value. But this enabled her to fill her life with. Let's put it this way: everybody's got to die, unfortunately, but not everybody dies doing what they love the most. And that is a fitting end for a great heroine like Amelia Earhart.
And to some degree, too, it lessens the pain of the death by understanding that, well, if one has to go out, better doing what one has a passion for versus attached to a variety of machines in the hospital bed.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is a hero's death. She herself, Amelia Earhart herself, acknowledged it in a letter to her husband. She said, "I recognize the dangers here, but in effect, this is who I am. This is what I, you know, people like that feel like, I have to do this. This is so important to me. I can't give this up. I have to do it. And if I die in the action of it, then that's the way I'll die. But I have to pursue what I love. That this is what fills my life with passion and purpose and meaning."
So Dr. Andrew Bernstein, author of the book Heroes, Legends, Champions, Why Heroism Matters. AndrewBernstein.net is the doctor's website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So in many ways, does a hero magnify rather than reduce their little realm in the world for others to learn from, be inspired by?
I think that's true. One of the great values that heroes provide, and another great hero of mine, you know, Louis Pasteur, who amongst many other accomplishments, was one of the first to identify the germ theory of disease, and the medical establishment thought he was crazy. They wanted to institutionalize him. You know, these tiny little microbes you can't even see—they're powerful enough to kill an elephant. Well, yeah, they are, as a matter of fact. And Pasteur had to stand up for that, which enabled us to create antibiotics years and decades later to fight diseases. So one of the great things heroes do is they actually carry us forward with these their practical achievements. But you're right, the second great accomplishment here is the inspiration they provide. We see somebody like this who not only made these advances, but had to fight against the other doctors, the scientific establishment, who thought he was crazy. But he stood up for the truth with tremendous courage, at risk to his career, and he stood up for what he knew was true. And I think that enables us to feel in our own lives, well, if a hero can face these daunting obstacles, these threats to his or her career or even his or her life, and stand tall in support of what he or she knows to be true, then what might I accomplish in my life? I'm not facing life-threatening dangers like George Washington in battling against the British Empire, the mightiest empire on earth. My obstacles are less daunting than that. What might I achieve, in my life if I'm as dedicated to ideals as, George Washington was or Louis Pasteur was? I think the heroes provide great inspiration for us.
We're talking about the A-listers in our world, in our history, but that's not always the level a hero exists at. I mean, I mentioned Kobe Bryant in the introduction. I'm sure one of Kobe Bryant's heroes was his basketball coach back in that high school in the Philadelphia area.
That could certainly be. Heroes don't have to. Epic heroes stand out. So they're the easiest to analyze because they so tower above the landscape. It's like it's like seeing Mount Everest. The foothills are harder to differentiate. But yeah, somebody doesn't have to be a giant. Like Washington or Edison or Amelia Earhart or somebody like that to be a hero. And there's a chapter in the book on how every man and every woman can rise to heroic heights and sometimes do. People, for example, who battle terminal illnesses with tremendous courage and dignity. And I mentioned a woman named Ellen MacDonald, a British woman who made it past 100, and she had battled cancer on 5 different occasions. I mean, about 40 or 50 years before she celebrated her 100th birthday, they gave her last rites because they didn't expect her to survive. So, this kind of courage from somebody battling for, significant value for life itself and all the good things that life holds out. Somebody doesn't have to be a giant to be a hero. And Kobe Bryant's basketball coach, may well have been a legitimate hero in his life. That's certainly possible.
There are those who are anti-hero. They don't like the idea. They say they confuse it with false worshiping, whatever the case may be. The quote-unquote new parenting ideas that come across now instruct the parents to prevent their children from developing an attachment or an attraction to someone who could be a positive hero. What do you hope someone could gain who is of that mindset from your book?
Well, I hope they realize that we need heroes. We not only to carry us forward, all these epic heroes that we've been discussing, these last few minutes, but the inspirational values that heroes provide. We need to choose our heroes wisely. That is, at various times, people like Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Osama bin Laden have been heroes to many people. And mass murderers should be definitively excluded from the echelon of heroes. That is, the people we choose should be those who promote human life. Even athletes who I'm a big sports fan. A great athlete like Kobe Bryant doesn't cure cancer or something like that. It's true, but the dedication, the work ethic of Kobe Bryant has, no matter how much ability you're born with, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, whoever it is, they have great ability, but nobody becomes an NBA Hall of Famer just on ability alone. There's a tremendous work ethic that goes into developing that talent. So with athletes who don't promote human life in the way that, say, medical researchers do, still, their dedication to their craft, their work ethic, they face obstacles in winning a championship. They're playing against the best in the world, and they overcome that. They give us inspiration, and we have to choose our heroes wisely. People who are not, and Kobe Bryant had that incident where there was that rape charge against him. So I don't know if that was, what actually happened. But, I mean, the charges were dropped. So we choose our heroes wisely. They give us, at the very least, their dedication to their ideals, the hard work that they put in to achieve their goals, give us inspiration. And it's foolish, it's wrong to tell children or adults, for that matter, not to hero worship and not to try to emulate the best qualities of their heroes.
When you think about it, a four-letter word can mean so much. And in this case, the word hero is indeed one of those power words that can inspire and influence to varying degrees. What Dr. Bernstein has done with Heroes, Legends, Champions, Why Heroism Matters, he really details the assets of that four-letter word, the platform it rests on, and more importantly, the value of that word. Heroes, Legends, Champions, Why Heroism Matters, andrewbernstein.net. Learn more about this book. More importantly, get a copy of the book and learn from it as much as I did, as well as Dr. Bernstein's many other great works. Dr. Bernstein, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. And the book, of course, is available from Amazon very easily, so anybody could get it. It's only $15, so it is, I think it is a bargain.